Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Nothing more positive than being here in the friendly heart of Essex, Maryland, or as my mom would say, Essex. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have the Magic 8 Ball, and I'm scratching my ear. French fries and gravy for 100, maybe some ketchup on the table as well. We will be back at doing this, the Crab Cake Tour, at Fadley's in Lexington Market on the 2nd of April. That is day two of the Orioles. Lucas and I are going to be in Toronto all week, having fun, freezing, chasing down Geddy Lee. I've sent emails. I've watched videos. I am ready for you, Geddy Lee, if you come get me. But I'm ready for the baseball season. This guy's ready for baseball season, horse racing season. Perhaps the fall of democracy, we're going to figure it all out. He is a practicing attorney. Don't let that hold him against you because he's never lied to me. He is at Blondell, Miller, and Schuller. He is Todd Schuller, our defending champion and delegate. I don't know why I called you a councilman. I know better than this. How are you, and how's life, and what's with the hall thing? You're repping today, Friday?
I got a freshman.
At Calvert Hall.
I got a freshman at Calvert Hall and a sixth grader at Maryvale. So I spend a lot of my time.
You were a Hall guy, though, right?
I was 95.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you're the third Calvert Hall person I've talked to this morning. Y'all kind of stick together like the Curly Goons and the Loyola guys. I mean, I'm a lone Dundalk guy over here in Essex.
Don't go lumping
just
us in with Curly and Loyola now. That's not
because
fair.
Because you're an elite institution.
Yeah, those are just guys
athletics.
That couldn't get into Calvert Hall. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just didn't want to drive to Towson. Maybe that was my issue. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Colgate, East Point Mall, and I've told people this because we're right by Mount Carmel. My parents were married at Mount Carmel in 1945 in the church. They lived 50 feet behind here in Mars Estates, wartime, 45, 46, 47, they got married. And then they moved to Taylor Avenue, and then they moved to Colgate in 1953. And they've been there, like, forever and ever and ever. But, like, the whole – I had a chance to go to – my parents were like, we want to send you to Curly or Mount Carmel. I'm like, no. Curly didn't have girls. Like, let's start with that. Calvert Hall didn't have girls. Now, you know – your partner spent a minute or two at Loyola. You're aware of that.
I think he went to Loyola.
You're aware
for
of that,
two
right?
days. And,
I remember showing up in 10th grade.
Dundalk
I showed up.
Said,
it was 9th
like
grade. It was a Hollywood thing. I remember, like, what happened to Mark Miller? Oh, he went to Loyola. I'm like, yeah, you'll be back here by next week.
Exactly.
Ain't no way he's getting on a going out to Towson every day when you're from Dundalk.
Now he hated it.
Away.
He hated it.
And look at how it turned out for him.
He,
it turned out fine.
He rocked it at Dundalk and a fine UMBC basketball player, and now he's practicing law with me.
Well, he was a fine Dundalk street legend. Mark Miller is my lifelong friend, and you're his partner. And tell everybody about your practice a little bit, because people drive by and they see the fancy new schmancy offices on Eastern Avenue, very close to the Taco Bell and the Burger King where I once stole the – I didn't steal it. They gave it to me. They threw it away. But I had a Burger King booth in my house in Highlandtown that came from the Burger King 5 feet from your
That's
offices.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Oh, I'm a Dundalk Essex – I've been eating at Pizza John's forever, but I've been passing Blondell Law all of my life, literally, right?
We've been there all of our lives in one form or another. Bill Blondell started the practice in the 70s, 60s, and we've only done injury law there. That's workers' compensation, car crashes, it's construction accidents.
A working man's firm, right? Literally, right?
We
literally,
are. Right? We've always kind of prided ourselves on that, and we've always been right on Eastern Avenue. My entire career, and we're happy to be there. We did do the renovation a couple of years back, and I think if you drive down the boulevard, there's great things coming. I mean, the way the boulevard looks now compared to where it looked 20 years ago is just absolutely fantastic.
Well, I remember Essex Day becoming something that had kind of fallen apart for a while, and then it really becomes incumbent upon business. And you know how important business is. I mean, you're an elected official trying to piece this together. And we'll talk about federal cuts and democracy and Trump. And we're in the middle of Trumplandia. This is a 75%, 80%. No?
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad?
I hope not.
I think as we move further in other areas, it is.
They didn't get me yet.
Well, but just there is palpable energy these days everywhere I go as to who you voted for or where you stand along the lines on all of that. And Essex, Dundalk, you know, these were strongholds for Democratic elected officials that you would have a harder time getting elected here at that point. And 100%. I won't tell Johnny O that because I invited him, and we're literally 5 feet into his district. His district's Quayce's right over there, and I've talked to both of them this week. But I have reached out. I had Brian Frosch on at length this week discussing these things because this really is for lawyers. I mean, I don't know that regular people really understand when this – orange goof signs all of this stuff that like what an executive order is and what's legal and what's not. And regular people don't understand any of this. But when Venezuelans are getting deported and being called gangsters, and I've been a Venezuelan my whole life and I'm a gangster in love. But I mean, I don't like the tenor of any of this. And I do think, as I said to Brian Frosch, it's going to be about attorneys stopping this, not the military or the American people at this point.
You know, here we are again. It comes down to the lawyers.
I need the lawyers to save our asses, is what we need.
You're not wrong about it, though. You know, for all of the pickup trucks adorned with the first three words of the Constitution.
We the people.
It's unfortunate. It's a little bit like the Bible. Like, if you actually crack it, you're not going to like what you read in there. And what you read in there is that there's a separation of powers between three branches of government, right? Checks and balances. And you're going to learn that the guy that occupies the White House can't just sign folders all day and make law. The Congress makes law. The Congress allocates money.
Or doesn't in this case.
Yes. But you don't just get to sit there at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and dictate laws on your own. We fought a war about that in the 1700s.
There are no kings in the United States of America.
We wrote a blueprint.
But that being said, the laws get passed. They are the law of the land. They are have been for all of our lives said this is what we abide by until we get gangsters and lawless people. All of these acts are anti-American.
They are anti-law.
They are anti-democracy. They are anti- we the people, and it's not about you voted for me, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't work that way for Wes Moore. It doesn't work that way for Larry Hogan. It didn't work that way for Todd Shuler. And it doesn't work that way for Johnny. It doesn't work that way for anybody.
Imagine Joe Biden 6 months ago says to the University of Mississippi, I see a rebel flag hanging from a dorm room, and I'm going to cut off all federal dollars to one particular university until I see that flag come down. They would have marched in the streets, right? You just can't do that.
That's not democracy.
That's money that's been allocated from Congress, right? That's freedom of speech. There's a whole lot of things that go into it. And we have a guy pretending that he has the authority to do these things. And the question is, are we scared of him? And we're just going to comply because of a sort of voluntary obedience? Or are we going to take the fight to him? And 99% of entities are going to take the fight. The unions are taking the fight on behalf of the federal workers that are getting summarily laid off despite their contracts, right? People are taken to the courts with all of these things, and then some aren't. Some are voluntarily. The Amazon guy, he's just saying,
well, the amazing part is the campaigning on white power and the more than that, the notion that cutting the federal government, making federal employees the bad guys, that they are a part of the problem is, let alone the FBI. But these cabinet positions that have been approved are, you wouldn't
it's
come
true.
Into Pizza John's and want a guy that's never made a pizza to be making your pizza, right? Like, literally, or somebody that's never run a pizza. These are people.
The Secretary of Defense could not have held the last Secretary of Defense's clipboard. He didn't have enough rank to do it, right? That's the kind of position we're in right now. The WWF people have cabinet positions. It's just his little place to dull out these positions. But
it feels very unserious. I mean, Todd Shuler's here, by the way. And listen, it's not for everybody. But I'm going to be in Canada next week, right? And I had Rick Emmett, the guitar player. You know, I don't think he's any bleeding heart liberal or anti-American. As he said, he made most of his money in America. But as a Canadian, he's got to punch me when he's on the podcast and say, hey.
What are you guys doing down there?
Like this isn't cool. You all think it's funny on Fox News, but it's not funny. And it's not funny to the rest of the civilized world. It is alarming and frightening to the man in Germany who saved my wife's life. It's alarming and frightening to my friends that live in Sweden and people that I know online that say, we're over here. Putin is not our friend. I mean, I said this to Brian Frosch, and you'll appreciate this. I said, let's say that Donald Trump detained Kamala Harris, poisoned her, imprisoned her, and watched her die in a cell in the next 18 to 24 months. Would that be acceptable? That's what Putin did to Navalny, right?
Right, right.
Like, literally, how could...
I thought you were going, would he really lose any voters? And the answer is probably not, right?
Well, that answer is probably, she deserved it, right? That's
right.
It was important.
He won. So,
yeah, right. Like, to befriend Vladimir Putin, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the worst guy on earth, literally. Literally the worst guy on earth. And to take that position in the Oval Office and then try to intimidate a man who's had tens of thousands of his civilians murdered, I don't know what to say to make this come clean for the people that run around with the five-letter word on the back of their pickup truck. I don't know how to impress the seriousness that the rest of the world is taking this, that looks like owning the libs to people on social media.
For 80 years after World War II, America was the city on the hill, Ronald Reagan's city on the hill, the beacon of light, right? The great democratic experiment. We were advancing American values around the world, and we were making places like Ukraine, which were former Soviet republicans, Soviet republics, which were moving toward the West, right? We did that for 80 years. That's the guys on...
Fought two wars.
We fought two wars about
more it. Than that, if you and count Korea and Vietnam. Afghanistan. Go into all of that.
And
yes.
The shame is the signing of the folders is silly, and it's not law, and it's not going to last. He obviously is going – he's not going to voluntarily leave when he loses an election, but he's going to lose an election. And, you know, that – we're going to win that, but the damage that he did now to America – because how can you ever really trust us again, right? Twice we've done it. We've failed the open book test the second time. Failed the open book test. It was right there. None of what he's doing, he ran on all of it. He told us
the amazing part is 90 million people in this country have a privilege and a right that my mother was not born with in 1919 in this country, that lots of people of color and lots of immigrants and people have fought to have citizenship here to be represented as the we and the we the people, right? Like,
sure.
My father was one of those people. My family came from Venezuela. I'm blown away that 90 million people, just with all this on the line after COVID, with the seriousness of all of it, with the lies, with the insurrection, with the government, with the shutdown, with everything that's happened here, that 90 million people just elected to sit it out. That's other people have literally been in a cult and been brainwashed to think that this is, that hanging out with Putin is good for us somehow.
I don't discount the fact that Democrats need to tighten a message or whatever else, but don't underestimate.
Well, having a cadaver run around for 4 years.
Fine.
Like, not – Joe Biden was not equipped to run this country, and I can't even defend it at the end, you know?
I'm with that. But don't underestimate the media. And we think of the media – they coined the term liberal media years ago, right, that meant – that the network news were somehow slanted toward the left, and maybe they were and maybe they weren't. That's not the media environment we live in. People get their news from TikTok. People get their news from Facebook. People get their news from social medias and wingnut podcasts. No offense to, you know,
That's not what this is. We don't have any wings here. We've got to get pizzas. We're going to have here.
The media environment is so very strongly right, and I think that's underreported. We talk about what could he do to turn people off. People don't hear it, but people are still hearing about what an evil person Nancy Pelosi is on TikTok. And I worry about my kids. I see these algorithms, they push it up, and it's driven, and it's on purpose. And it's a serious attempt to undermine democracy from very wealthy people and wealthy.
$270 million invested in a president and standing in the Oval Office in some black military fatigue with his kid telling the president he's not the president. I mean, like, that happened on day five, man.
The richest person in the world is giving Wisconsin voters $100 each to sign a petition in support of a judicial candidate. The richest person in the world just gave the maximum allowable under law to the eight wingnut representatives that filed articles of impeachment against a judge that ruled against President Trump. The richest person in the world is basically dangling money out and threatening to primary anybody who stands in the way of that agenda. It's money and
politics. When I talk to, by the way, Todd Schuller's here. We're at Pizza John's in Essex, all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. When I talk to Brian Frosch about this, I Citizens United is probably the Garden of Eden of all of this, right?
Most definitely.
Ideology of Newt Gingrich, not Ronald Reagan, not any war, not any economic issue. This is really about buying our country in the way that the Saudis came in and decided to buy golf.
Correct.
Like, literally. You like golf, we're going
to
wreck it. The same way that Twitter was one of the mechanisms that, democracy, Syria, Egypt. Musk decided to buy Twitter and throw journalists off in the first week. I was one of those guys. To wreck it.
To win this election. So that your buddy President Putin can take over America without firing a shot. That's what would happen. They took over our country. The Cold War ended. They never stopped fighting. And they never had to fire a shot. And now they're in. The enemy is behind the walls now.
Todd Schuller's here. We're going to get to sports and more important things than democracy. Essex. Essex in the state of Essex. You are with Blondell Miller Schuller. What do people need to know about auto accidents and specifically Essex and Essex coming along and as a community? Because, I had some folks here that have never been to Pizza John's, and I tell them to come by, and Dave Shinen's coming from downtown today. Essex is one of those places, if you don't have business here or work here, you wouldn't necessarily drive through it. Pizza John's kind of down here, maybe Rocky Point or wherever you're going. But this is a sturdy community down here, man.
It is a very sturdy community.
It is.
It has been for quite some time. And, I'm super excited about what's gone on here, and our renovation was part of it all. But we've had talk about the importance and the important role that government can play. We had a Chamber of Commerce that spurned out an entity called the Essex Development Corporation. Essex Development Corporation connects grant money and county money to things like our sign program. So if you go down Eastern Boulevard now, businesses like the Jerk Chicken Shack have signs, and they were subsidized in part by the county government. So where it looked, the neighborhoods to me have always looked great. You get a block off the boulevard either way, you look great. But you come down Eastern Boulevard 20 years ago, and it looks like a ghost town. And when you invest in cameras, there's a camera program going on now.
I think all the old businesses used to be their sub haven. The places that you would just go through when the A&P was there back. When I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, and even into the 80s, there was a lot of storefront. But I think what happened, and you can speak to this. This is an American thing. Everybody went to the malls, right? Golden Ring, White Marsh, and East Point Mall sort of usurped downtown Dundalk, downtown.
From a retail standpoint,
in a lot
absolutely.
Of ways,
but
yeah.
A law firm like mine. Jennings, transmissions
sure.
across the street, places like that are still there. And the places, the smaller places like the Jerk Chicken place that are taking up some of the old space, maybe they don't have the resources that an A&P would or that a Taco Bell did.
Or
but,
Bill's Terrace. I mean, you got some.
Bill's Terrace.
Yeah, sure.
But if you put a pretty looking sign out there, you draw some people in, you draw some people down the boulevard, that person gets in a car crash. He was getting his jerk chicken that he loves because he rode by the sign one time a year ago. Now, why not go to the law firm?
I've been
right
to the jerk chicken place.
It's a good spot.
It is a good spot,
yeah.
Man. It's Essex, man. Everything
absolutely.
Here is good. What is your go-to for pizza at Pizza John's? I've had pizza here with you. Like today, you take something home to your wife who's a Browns fan. We'll get to that later. Kids, whatever. But what is your thing here? Because I know you come here a lot.
So you hit the nail on the head. I listened to you with the GBMC guest before. And whatever you do, I'm
get pepperoni on it.
I'm a deluxe guy. I like get a little weird, but get the pepperoni. I mean, the pepperoni, that's the signature of Pizza John's. It's like little, you could almost.
No, man. I see, what I do is
You take the damn grease. You grease the roni, don't you?
No, I don't do that at all. Come on. Do I look that Gucci? I'm from Dundalk. I get the Hawaiian, so I get the ham and the pineapple. And it was always lacking a little something in that crunch and that salt. I love the ham. And last time I had Brett on, he said it was imported ham. I said, do you import that from Dundalk? He said, yeah, actually, it does come from Dundalk. Excellent. So we have imported ham, pineapple. But once you put the pepperonis on, and sometimes here, because they make a lot of pizza, I have to say, I want the pepperonis on top. And sometimes they might bury them because they don't want them to get. So when I take the pizza home, I will pull the pepperoni out on top. I put it into my toaster oyster at 450, and I put that on there, and the crust gets right, and the pepperonis get right, and then I'm not mad at you.
That's not bad at all.
I usually get the supreme, though. I mean, I like everything on it. I like green pepper. I like mushroom. I like sausage. I like pepperoni. I like the meat sauce. I like it all.
I'll get the anchovies. I know that's not a very
My mom was an anchovy person. I mean, I like anchovies in my dressing, in my Caesar or whatever, but I don't need little salty fish on my pizza. You know what I mean? I don't need that.
I feel you. If the mood hits right, I'm gonna get the chovies.
Todd Schuller is here. If you get into an auto accident, it is the worst day of your year, maybe the worst day of your life in some cases. You need protection. I've waited to the end. This is your stairway to heaven because you help people who – my neck's a little screwed up right now, but if I got in a car accident – what is a typical thing that happens when somebody has a car accident? Because, I mean, I guess going back 30 years since television commercials, call us, call us, call us. Here's our 800 number. We're from out of town. Do we cheat them? How? All that stuff. But you're different than that, and I've pimped for you guys for years. But when you get in an accident, you reach to you and Mark, and I know you're going to talk about Mark. You guys go in for people who can't defend themselves, who are really getting screwed by insurance companies. Screwed by the man.
Screwed by the man. Well, the insurance companies do not care about you, right? That's first and foremost. They want the business model of insurance is to collect premiums more than they pay out, you know, when somebody is hurt, right? And it's so successful. It's a casino level successful business model. They've got the algorithms. They know what they need to take in. They know what they're going to pay out. That's why you see Aaron Rodgers hawking for State Farm. Because the only way to expand on the business model is to take away from Geico or have Geico take away from Progressive.
Well, everybody needs insurance, right?
Everybody needs insurance.
And most of us don't have the insurance we really need, though.
They, like the casinos, know that you might walk out of there with a hit. We're going to win. We're going to win every time. They know that. And if you know that you're going to win every time, the only way to make your business better is to take more business from your competitors. And that is your good neighbor. And that's your good hands, and that's all of it.
Piece of the rock.
So when you get hurt, you know, people, unfortunately, a lot of very tough-talking law firms on television, you know, they want to show you what they got and what they drive and the goofy-looking dudes. Like, it's all the same thing, right? But those people don't go to court. Mark and I go to court. You know, we take in a case with the idea. Some clients call with the expectation that we're going to settle a case in a couple of weeks. And they get mad at us for, like, oh, you know, this is
I want my money by the end of the month.
This is what I want.
But that's part of settling, right? If you settle, you get the money now, right?
Yeah,
now that's the deal. My neck
that.
Hurts, and they're going to give me $50,000. That sounds like a lot of money, but that ain't a lot of money.
Let me go to court. Let me go to court. And let me take to a judge or a jury what the value of your injuries are, what the value of your medical bills and your lost wages and your time and everything that has happened to you. Or if you got a dumpy case, call somebody on TV. And
how do you know a good case from a bad case when somebody comes
in? If somebody's really injured, you know, that usually helps, right?
Well, you know, I sat on one jury. I've told you the story, right?
Yeah.
I sat on one jury. Of course it was during a Pittsburgh Ravens playoff week in January. Of course it was snowing. And, of course, it was one of the most unethical, even before Trump got elected, it was unbelievable how unethical this was. I went in before all the stuff, and they're supposed to not know you, right? Like, if you're a lawyer, if I am a juror and you are the lawyer, you would look at me and say, I know Nestor. We have to, you go home.
Or at least I have to disclose it. If the other side says it's fine,
okay.
I don't care if you know him.
So the lawyer, they picked me quickly. I was on that jury within, I mean, I showed up thinking, like, I'm trying to sit in the back, and I'm trying to, like,
sure.
you know, like, you know, like this a little bit. And I was banged into this jury pool, right? Was it take 15, 13, whatever the number is?
Yeah, they take a couple extra. Yeah, a dozen in a
yeah,
criminal.
Yeah,
yeah,
we'll take a couple extra, yeah, right?
A couple.
Yeah, so, but it was a car accident in Annapolis. I think Geico was the, I didn't care. I wasn't thinking, like, checkers and chess. I was thinking, like, all right, I've been pulled into this. If I'm this poor woman, what am I doing? And, you know, who am I? And as it turned out, she was just faking it.
Yeah.
Like, and the whole thing
unraveled.
Was, well, it unraveled when the jurors all went back and we all looked at each other and we're like, nah, we gave her a dollar.
I've
I mean, we gave her
a dollar
and it was 2 days of sitting there and fighting for this woman who had taken all these vacations and, you know, and she got tapped in the back and the poor woman who did it was like this musician woman from Hopkins. She was this educated, erudite woman who just literally tapped the woman in the back of the
sure.
car, and we saw the pictures and all that. And this woman, 3 years later, was trying to get like $800,000. We gave her a dollar.
That's,
I think we gave her like
you did.
We
say,
gave
you
her
did
maybe
Geico
like
a solid that day. You fought for the man and won. You know, like
I felt horrible about just, that. But what do you want me to do?
I'm giving you a hard time.
But
I'm,
you know
I'm
what
biased.
Happened?
I'm on
the
plaintiff's
team. The scumbag
team,
lawyers that were that represented that they came up to me at the end and they knew me. They put me on the jury.
Knowing who you were.
Yeah.
Or knowing you personally or just knowing
they,
who you were?
You know what they did? This makes them even – I would use more foul language if I weren't in Essex in a family establishment here. But these S.O. They came up to me and they're like, yeah, I listen to you 105.7 The Fan. I know who you are, Nasty Nestor. I listen to you on The Fan. You still own The Fan? And I'm thinking – 2 days, you guys won the case. This is how honorable I am.
Right.
This is how honorable I am. I saw your case and saw it fairly the way you would want justice to be. But, like, you guys staged that you didn't know me to even put me on the jury.
Oh,
you guys
both
are scumbags.
Of them, both sides.
No.
Oh,
no. It was the one side,
side,
the defendant side.
Oh, nice. That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my
that's
my experience with democracy sitting on a jury. I only have one time. It had to do with your line of work, literally your line of work, and it was like a case that should never have gone to court. Should have never wasted 2 days of my life. The jurors didn't give her money because we were pissed off.
Strike,
literally.
Nestor. If you see him and you're a plaintiff's lawyer, give him a strike. He's ready to get out of there.
I was ready to be a citizen and be fair about
it. I appreciate
at that point. But like I am 12 years later,
the information
a little upset.
And you made a judgment, which is what democracy asks of you, right?
It's what my audience asks of me every day.
That's it.
What do you think of me not getting a press credential for the Orioles? What do you think of
that? You didn't get a press credential for the Orioles?
I might not have. They may have called me and already tried to intimidate me.
Today?
Maybe.
When's this going on?
Maybe. Let's just pretend it happened that way. Let's pretend. Let's pretend I don't have a press pass. What would you say to you and Mark as sponsors of WNST if you're like, hey, dude, they're giving you a press pass. They're new owners. Peter's dead, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
are you shocked? You're not shocked.
I'm not shocked. I mean, the Ravens did it to you, right?
Yeah.
So, you know.
But the Ravens did it to be vengeful and awful. The Orioles did it to be vengeful and awful, but he's dead.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do I
love the Orioles and the Ravens?
You love the Orioles and the Ravens.
Did I not build all this for the Orioles and the Ravens?
Built all of it.
Am I a real media member in your mind? As
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Wear a microphone on my podcast, on my show, on my FCC accredited station on.
The only podcast I go on. Of course, yes.
This is the only podcast that invites him on.
True story.
It's true. Todd Schuller is here. He will be throwing crawfish boils on Preakness weekend. I'm going to be at Las Vegas Preakness weekend with the
you're missing it again.
With Bill Cole and the Goons at the pool for the big Perlo event out in it. But so I'm skipping Preakness this year, but you skip Preakness a lot of years, but you have turned it into an adult Bayou celebration. I don't understand why you don't get crabs at Costas like a good Baltimorean, but
first of all, I reject the adult. There's about 10,000 kids in my pool on that day running around. It's a very family-oriented party.
Do they even know what a crawfish is, these kids? Or they only see them once
they
a year
now.
In your house?
They do now. Like, so when we first – I went to law school in New Orleans, and that's where the crawfish thing came from. We started boiling crawfish on Preakness because it's a big, it's cool. It's like crabs. And dump it on the table and you stand around the table and it's a little less, you got to sit for crabs, right? You got to commit to it a little bit more.
You just pop the head
crawfish,
off.
Crawfish, you come over, you bang three down, you go back to your conversation, you come back to the table, you know. I've seen them
it's
in
more
the
like oysters.
Beds of pickup trucks.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But now there are kids that have been coming to my party for their whole lives.
It's the only time they get them.
And they know that, yeah, they know it's crawfish
time. It's like
time.
Kielbasa and sauerkraut on Christmas at my house. Okay.
Well, yeah, yeah, it's like that. I mean, it's like when you're offloading them from the truck and ready to dump them, you got like a crowd. It's almost like when you break out the dog food and you got the dogs coming. There's people that want those crawfish, you know? Like, it's a good scene. It's a good party.
I'm going to come one year, but it's not going to be this year.
I guess not.
Because I'm not going to be local here this year. But
sounds like you're taking my buddy Bill Cole with you, too.
So your New Jeez. Orleans thing came back to me 8 weeks ago, and I don't want to bring up, yeah, I got people here wearing old school Raven stuff. I don't want to break any hearts. I don't want any blasphemy yelled at Mark Andrews or Justin Tucker about this. But your name came up in January because, I don't know if you know, the Ravens were pretty good. And we thought they had a chance, right?
Definitely.
So Buffalo was the, you know, the first destination. We know how that turned out. And then Kansas City was going to be the next one, right? So Luke and I were going to do Kansas City. And then it was like, well, if they win, are we going to go to the Super Bowl or not? And they were going to give Luke a credential at the Super Bowl. And I said, well, if they're going to credential you, I'm just going to get out and party. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So I was like, all right, we'll go down to New Orleans. Like, we had a flight on Wednesday to New Orleans if the Ravens had won. And my wife's like, are you going to do anything? And my wife would still say her ass hurts from riding the bus the last time. When anybody asks me, people come up all the time like, hey, Jen, we took the bus with you down in New Orleans. My wife's like, my ass still hurts. You know, it's 12 years.
Didn't
you know?
Like the bus.
Well, it was a long ride down. It was a shorter ride back, I think, because we won.
Right, right.
You know, fourth and goal, it would have been, oh, my God.
That would have been rough.
It would have been bad. Especially for John Harbaugh because he'd be coaching
the
in night Bemidji
turned
right
out
now.
The lights,
so,
right? Yeah.
New Orleans happens, and, you know, I threw a party down there, kind of famous. The Natchez is the big boat.
Right, right.
Right.
My buddy reached out to me. Did I?
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you.
Am I fast-forwarding you the story?
So, about January 15th, I get a random text from a lovely lady named Deidre. And you can tell your pal Deidre. It's one of my, I have a crush on Deidre. Deidre was the person who did my boat 15 years or 12 years ago now, right? And she texts me, and I'm like, Deidre Nola Natchez is how her name shows
Perfect.
Up, right? And she texts me. She's like, hey, the Ravens are looking good. You coming back down to New Orleans? We're going to do – and I'm like, well, they threw me out. Everybody hates me. Trust me, you read my mail. Every Raven fan hates me. And because I told the truth, how dare I? And I said, nah, I'm not going to throw a party or anything. And then I woke up the next day and I thought, man, they got really good bread pudding on that boat. You know, and they have the New Orleans jazz sound, all that. So the next day I woke up and said to my wife, I'm like, look, the boat people want me to do a boat down there. And she's like, dude, you got to do the boat. Like, make a little bit of money or whatever, but, like, it would be fun. And she's like, more Ravens fans love you than you think. And it's just the idiots that don't like you. It's the people that are going down to the Super Bowl. You threw the event down there. A lot of the same people are going to go, and they're going to want to walk in a – you should go down, run the boat, and do a parade again. It doesn't cost anything. You're already going to be there. Why don't you do it? So I wrote to Deidre at 4 in the morning. I said, you know what? This is like when Bishotti fired Brian Billick, my partner.
Right.
I changed my mind, just like that. You know, I changed my mind. So I wrote her back, and I'm like, I'm in, count me in. I got a flight. I'm going down with Luke. Woo-hoo! You know, we're going to Super Bowl, right? And then we lost, and, like, your buddy wrote to me and friended me on LinkedIn, your New Orleans buddy.
Yeah,
he was pleased that I was coming. So I was all ready to do it again. I want to let you know that. Like, I...
When the next time
I haven't thought about it in 8 weeks.
There.
I haven't thought about it since Morgan.
No. My buddy that is involved with Deirdre in some way, I don't know, he reached out. He's like, do you know Nasty Nestor? And I was like, yeah, I know Nasty Nestor.
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's still doing
podcasts.
He
don't like the Ravens no more.
No.
He don't like
Can't
the Ravens
get a credential
no
at the Orioles. What the hell?
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? I'm not a real media member. Well, yeah, you know. Yeah. So are you bullish on the Orioles? I mean, you're old school.
I am.
You and your old man, big time. Oriole fan longer than you've been a Raven fan. All of us have been, right?
All of us have been, right? Yeah, of course. And I am bullish. And I like the crappy off season. You know, like, I know you're bearish, you know.
No, I'm not. No. This is where you.
This is the time of year that
Mark Fine, if you're listening, and Katie, if you're listening, that is not true. And I said this to my wife. I'm like, I have been the voice of reason of this offseason to say that guy didn't want their money out in Arizona. They didn't waste it on anybody. They bought remnant pitching because that's what they can do. And to me, if I own the team, I'd say, you know what? We've got all these young guys. Let them play. If we need fortification in July, for the first time in the history of the organization, we have an artillery we can deal from.
Right.
And for the first time in the history of the organization, we have old Moneybags, who spoke to the CEO club, who can just fund a $12 million pitcher or an $80 million pitcher that we're going to get over 3 years, or they get another Zach Eflin, that they get another pitcher with $20 million left for next year, that they have flexibility. They have a lot of flexibility right now.
They got the ability to make a move at the deadline.
I believe that, and I believe that.
They don't have a track record, but they have the ability.
I think it's a – I'm buying into that philosophy. I'm not buying into the fact that I'm not a media member because you're nuts on that. But I am buying into the philosophy that they shouldn't have just gone running, throwing money at pitchers. Like, I'm okay with Snell, any of those guys that were going to be $200, $300 million.
Right.
That worries me, giving that kind of money away. It would worry me if I were the owner of the team.
They're going to rake. I mean, one way or the other, they're going to rake, and it's going to keep them in a lot of games. If they have the pitching to make it, they're going to make it. And
if they don't, they can go buy it or acquire it.
And I like the dump. Yes, and if they don't, they can go buy it or acquire it at the deadline. And I like that the mood is sour now. Like, let the mood be positive in October and September, right? Like,
so you'll get excited when they start winning some games, is what you're telling
me. They're going to get out there. They're going to do what they did. They're going to be in contention for the division. They're going to be in contention for a wild card. And, like, it's like the Ravens. I mean, the last two Ravens seasons just ended in probably the best team in football at least 2 years ago, maybe this past year. And they weren't the best team in football the two times they won the Super Bowl. The ball falls, you know. But you got to be in position that when the ball falls, maybe it falls your way. And that's where the Orioles have been for a couple years, and snake bit like the Ravens have been. And that's where they're going to be this year. And maybe just we get a little Oriole magic.
So when I make the announcement on April 1st that I'm running for the king of Royal Farms Fried Chicken,
I don't think you're going to have much of a primary.
What do you make of the Tucker thing?
I think it's a shame because I feel like I knew, and if I knew, they knew. And
did you know?
Yeah. I mean, you heard things years
ago. I didn't hear.
I heard something. Somebody posted something on Facebook like 5 years ago, and it was that Justin Tucker had been asked to leave several massage parlors. I never repeated it. Because I didn't have a second source, and I didn't, you know, what do I know?
You saw, like, you know, this person that put up.
Not only that, when the story broke, I wrote to him, or I put on his Facebook, dude, you were right, greatest prediction 5 years earlier, and then he put his old post back up.
I'm going to stand up here just to stretch because we're at the end of the segment, but I was sitting at that table right there. I was at the second table right over the side by the bathroom. On that day, it was a Thursday about 6 weeks ago, and you're Essex, man. This is Todd Schuller from Blondell Miller Schuller. You've been to Pizza John's before, but I have as the I don't know, I'm like the emissary here. I'm sort of the ambassador to Pizza
sure,
John's
we'll
Pizza.
Give you that.
I have people that have never been here before, right? Jen Marsh is my friend. She lives where Shinin lives, up in Butchers Hill, Patterson Park area. And I can't believe, but they got Matthews, they got pizza up there,
sure.
Verde, they got places they go up in Highlandtown. Rivera's Pizza's long gone, but they don't find occasion to make it down past Blondell Miller Schuller, across, you know, Back River Bridge, come down to Back River Neck Road and make our way here. So I invited Jen Marsh. I wanted to get together with her. I love her. She's a longtime editor of the city paper. And I said, Jen, I love you. Let's go get some lunch and hang out, talk some business and talk about life. And I said, you want to go to Pizza? I've never been to Pizza John's. I'm like, let's go.
Let's go.
So we come in here. We order a pizza, cheesesteak, proper French fries and gravy. We're having a good old time. We're catching up on this and that. And she gets up to go to the bathroom. She's like, I got to clean my hands. She had to go to the bathroom. My text goes off. It's from, you know, Luke. It's like.
Right. Justin.
And I'm like, she came out of the bathroom, and I'm like, Jen, look at this. And she's a news person. She's right. Like, what? She runs to the – she had the Banner app she subscribes to. Right. I got to read the whole thing on her phone. So I learned about Justin Tucker in that booth at 1:45 in the afternoon a couple of Thursdays ago. And I'm looking around in here, and nobody – and I'm thinking to myself, before I got up to leave, I went and peed, and I came back and sat down. Tucker had already had – his Instagram post up denying all of it.
Right, right.
Before I walked, my car was right there. Before I walked out of here, and we'd already eaten. So within 15 minutes, Tucker had already put his legal counsel to work on all of this. And you asked me when I heard that about this, when I was at that table. I didn't hear it. Nobody called me. Nobody told me.
Before Deshaun Watson. Before any Deshaun Watson, I had heard the Tucker thing. I filed it away. I heard about Deshaun Watson. I told my Browns fan wife. I was like, you know who else? Justin Tucker. And but don't tell anybody because I only saw it on Brett's Facebook and blah, blah, blah. And then it sits around for forever and it breaks. And then it was like, holy schmackerels. He was right.
He's not going to kick here anymore, right? They're not going to pull that, right?
No, Ring of Honor.
I mean, there's zero tolerance except for signing Ben Cleveland after blowing a double DUI, right? Like, literally, right?
It smacks of poor judgment. They had to know. They had to know. There's no way my buddy Brett just heard something and put it out.
They have a lot of poor judgment out there. So let me tell you, Mr. Legal Guy, I'll give you this one because I've told this one out loud a couple times, but I want to tell it again. And I want to be really careful with this because I could really drop the ball on the end of this, and I'm not going to do that. But I had a player come out to do a show with me at Buffalo Wild Wings in Bel Air 12 years ago, 11, 12, 13. It was in the air. It was in the Flacco era. A player came out, and another player came out. And one of the players was so inebriated that I couldn't air the piece.
Right.
I videoed it. I audioed it. Kids were there getting autographs. The player was beyond hammered. He was so hammered that they were putting water into his drink when he was asking for vodka.
Right, right.
Okay, that's how hammered he was.
Sure.
It was an utter embarrassment. I drove home that night, and I told Eric DaCosta 2 days later, who I've known famously for 30 years, and they told me they're not all choir boys.
Yeah.
They're not all choir boys.
The Bobby Bowden.
That's their level of accountability that I experienced in Owings Mills. I'd like to tell you where that player is right now, but he's not in a good circumstance.
That's all I
would say about that player.
I would like.
And that player had a problem, and I identified that player's drinking problem to their management, their HR team, and instead of intervening with an alcohol-addled player, they just let him go play. And I know that that's the way they handle things because I'm a media member. You know what I mean? Like, I know things that have gone on in that building that are horrific. They run an animal house out there. But Roger Goodell is now going to investigate this, which is a punchline. I mean, if they found that Tucker did really horrible, horrible stuff, they would hide it.
They would bury the body.
They would bury it. That's why they're in to bury it. They're not in to investigate.
The narrative on the team is that they're into high character guys, right? And like, you know, you're building a roster of quality people who, you know, and maybe high character means a dedicated work ethic or whatever else it means. You got to expect more. You got to expect more than hiding a story. You do. I mean.
They're not all choir boys.
If we don't.
He was a good kicker.
Yes. And he's a great
kicker.
When
I said to my wife, she read it all. And I was the one that said, he's done. After the first allegation, I thought he was done. The second and the third, like all of that. I said, he's done. And I said to my wife, we're brushing our teeth before bed one night. And I said, you don't think they're bringing him back, right? And you know what my wife said to me? Well, he is a really good kicker.
I mean,
this is my wife saying this.
I feel you. I feel you. You got to demand more. You can't bring him back. It's disgraceful. And they probably
allegedly
should have cut their losses at least back to when I heard about it. You know, which might have included the Detroit kick and a couple of good playoff runs. They probably
they'll never find out, and they can't prove it anyway, right?
It's
pretty much what his lawyers are saying. They can't prove it.
It smacks of poor judgment to not bring your own dirt into light. To me, yeah, I everything you're saying.
They lack integrity. They threw me out. Am I a media member or am I not?
You're a media member.
Did I do anything to be thrown out?
No, you're the man.
Okay,
get back in there. Start breaking some.
You know what? Speaking of media members. You call for a real media member, you get a real media member in Essex. He hadn't shaved in a month. He's looking real wintry. I like it. He's getting that Toronto thing going on. That's good. I like that. The great Luke Jones is here. You have to go.
You
want to talk baseball or football with Luke? You can.
No. Are you going to talk?
You want to argue with a lawyer today? Because I'm done. Todd Schuller, Blondell Miller Schuller. He'll never speak to me again, but maybe he'll invite me over for crawfish. How's Mark doing? Give everybody a case study of something, a case you've won where bad things were going on, what you do for people over there. Because you're not the Dewey Cheatham and Howard. You represent good local people who have bad stuff happen to them, and you fight these insurance companies to make them pay. That's all.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, like, Matlock that goes on. There's not a lot of aha. This was that. This was that.
These aren't murder cases. These are traffic accidents.
This is a traffic accident, work accidents. People are out of work, and they rely on a weekly check to come for as long as they're treating, getting back to health. And everything is really fought in the matter of degree, right? What is ultimately the value of your traffic accident?
Well, everybody you fight for has had a lot of trauma.
Everybody,
physical,
yes.
Financial, all of that, right? By the time they get to you and you're taking people to court, these are people who are really getting screwed. Bottom line, right?
It is always a pain in the ass to be hurt in any way. Imagine stubbing your toe, and that sucks for like 3 weeks if you ever get the little purple pinky toe, right? And it's a hassle to have to go to medical appointments, right? If you have to go to a checkup, you put it off, and you're like, hey, I'll do it in 6 months. I'll do it in 6 months. And then you go, and it's like half your day, and you're sitting in a waiting room, and you got to fill the damn forms out, right? Like, everything sucks. So it's not just this, I broke my arm. It's everything that goes along with having to have broken your arm, right? And you're missing work, and work wants to know where the hell you are and when you're coming back. And
my wife, the insurance company MetLife, you scumbags, tried to force my wife back to work twice when she was like literally not well enough. And they tried to force her to go back to work.
Most definitely. And then that's a lot of where our fight is. You know, Mark and I are there fighting in the margins, saying, nah, her treating physician says she needs another 8 weeks, you know, and then they're sending you to a doctor. You're having a doctor review records that says, oh, no, she should have been back 8 weeks ago, you know, and we're fighting these fights, and we're doing them every day, and we're doing them in court, and we're not taking any, and you know, we're not taking the first deal. We're fighting for people.
Good. I like that. Mark's been a fighter all his life. Mark Miller has been my lifelong friend. Todd Schuller is his partner. At Blondell Miller Schuller, I'm the guy that comes to Pizza John's and I don't get any water. I gotta get some pizza. I've been here a couple hours. I'm going to swallow a lot of aggression pizza and cheesesteaks today. We're Pizza John's. I want to give you a magic 8-ball. Tell everybody how to find your law firm. Damn Good Lawyers.
DamnGoodLawyers.com, 410-687-7878. Get good Essex phone number. We're right here on Eastern Boulevard. Drive on by. Come on in.
Anybody gets in an accident, text me and I'll get you in touch with these people because you need them. They're going to represent you the right way, even though he's a Calvert Hall guy. You want to sing the song or anything, or are you good?
If I sing the alma mater, I might break the internet.
I sing. Well, I know, good. I like that.
I know every word.
I need the hits.
I can at least.
I'm all about hits and likes. You know that, right?
Sure,
I'm all
sure.
About click, 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 click,
yeah,
click.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be in the radio business.
This might catch me the wrong way.
Well, thanks for coming by. A pizza to go for Todd Schuller. It's all brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. I got more Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs. Don't you worry. I'll get these out. We're going to be at Fadley's on the 2nd of April. Luke likes me so much lately. See, Luke, now that I've been thrown out of the media again, he doesn't have to see me anymore, but he has to come and hang out today. And then we're going to be together at Fadley's on April 2nd. So if you want to come say hello to Luke at Fadley's on the 2nd, we'll be there all afternoon. I have a bunch of great guests coming that day. I'm looking forward to that. So second game of the year, Red Sox are in town. And then later on in the month, we're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at Cooper's. We're going to be at Beaumont. We're at Coco's on the 30th. And over at Costas on the 18th of I see you. You want some Costas crabs. I see what you just did there.
I want to go to New Costas. Is that going down still?
That is
At Timonium?
That's your haunt. That's going to be your place.
That's my spot.
They're going to have like a Norm seat at that place once gets a hold of it, right?
I'm going to be eating my Costas.
Costas is taking over Nick's Grandstand Grill in the Timonium Racetrack Grandstand. You'll be able to easily access that from York Road and I-83 right at Timonium Road, right around the corner from our partners at Curio Wellness and Foreign Daughter. So everybody centralized. Ever since I moved to Towson, everybody wants to come to Towson. I'm going to have to give the Costas people a hard time. We're at Pizza John's in Essex. Everybody wants to come down here and get their pizza because it's delicious. Get the pepperoni on it. Luke and I don't agree on pizza, so I'm going to let him get his own, and I'm going to get my own, and he can eat anything he wants because he drove down from Pennsylvania. We're going to do some baseball. The great Dave Shinen of the Washington Post is going to have his first ever slice of Pizza John's pizza today. Luke is a veteran. We're going to come back, continue to do it. We're at Pizza John's. My thanks to my pal Todd, former delegate, not councilman, not senator, Delegate Schuler. Are you always a delegate after you're a delegate? Does anybody call you that?
Nobody remembers anymore. You're the only person that remembers.
I had Brian Frosch on, and I'm like, do I have to call you Attorney General or AG? And he's like, just call me Brian. I'm like, thank God for people like that.
My rule, though, whatever highest rank you occurred, like you were my coach, you're always coach, right?
Boss. That's how Springsteen got his name. Hey, boss. Hey, dude.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm going to get some pizza. We're back for more Pizza John's. Carrying on, we are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking democracy, pizza, and baseball.